Learning Academy sessions. Want you guys signing up for that?
Yeah, today's the last day to sign up for Springborn Learning. This is a 6-week workshop series, 90 minutes in person, includes a hot meal, childcare, a little bit of instruction, a lot of great networking and relationship building. So if you have an infant, toddler, or preschool age child, visit our website at uwswac.org to sign up, or give us a call and ask Ben a few questions at 715-421-0390.
Great show, Terry. Thanks a lot for hanging out
with
us. Thank you. You have a good weekend.
You too.
Have a good one out there, everybody. Stick around for Money Magazine coming up right here on... Well, I like the way Steph does this one. We'll let her do it.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Google employees are on pins and needles as the work week winds down. Parent company Alphabet says it'll cut 12,000 jobs, about 6% of its global workforce, after a pandemic hiring spree. Charles Lieberman at Advisors Capital Management with a look at the bigger picture.
It's entirely possible that many other firms in the tech sector will also adjust their workforces the same way. I don't think that it's a huge problem in the sense that while there are large numbers involved here, the tech sector has a very low unemployment rate.
Microsoft, Amazon, and Meta have all made cuts recently. New data breach may have exposed your digits.
T-Mobile says a hacker stole the personal information of 37 million customers in November, including their addresses, phone numbers, and dates of birth. The company says the data breach was discovered January 5th and did not include passwords, PIN numbers, social security numbers, or bank account or credit card information. This is the fourth major data breach of customer information at T-Mobile. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
Aviation officials say last week's computer glitch that brought 11,000 flights in the U.S. to a standstill was caused by contract personnel who deleted computer files by mistake. CBS's Steve Futterman.
The FAA says the deletion occurred when they were trying to synchronize primary and backup databases. Officials say there is no evidence at this point of a cyber attack or malicious intent.
NATO partners are meeting in Germany to discuss Ukraine's request for more military tanks than the U.S. and Britain may be willing to give. The BBC's James Waterhouse is in Kyiv.
We are in a phase now where it is Russia making small, hard-fought gains in the east. And what Ukraine is saying and has long said is that Western, more advanced tanks would enable its troops to push across this front line, across frosty, wintry soil, and move through and retake lost territory.
The Supreme Court hears arguments today regarding free speech rules on social media. It's reconsidering whether platforms should have the power to decide what content stays, what goes, and what they can be held legally responsible for. There's an official cause of death for Leslie Jordan.
I'm a half a mind to storm out of here right this minute, but my other half wants to stay and finish my refreshing lemon draw.
The LA County Medical Examiner's Office says the Will and Grace star suffered sudden cardiac dysfunction linked to cardiovascular disease when his car jumped a curb and hit a parked car in October. Dow down 58. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Highs around 26 this afternoon under overcast skies, winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, lows level off around 16. Overcast skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 26. Dry with temperatures a bit above average, Sunday and Monday, and highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 23.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this January 20th, 2023. It is 10:05 on the clock, and your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Mike Hittner and the Historic Point Boss, talk about their ice-cutting event coming up in January, late in January. Right now, joining us on the phone, State Senator, Wisconsin State Senator, that is, Senator Patrick Teston, joining us. Good morning, sir.
Hey, James. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. How you been?
I've been real busy now that session kicked off on January 3rd. The legislature is wasting no time getting back to work, and so it's going to be a busy session. We are just on the floor on Tuesday to pass a constitutional amendment on bail reform, which will now go to the voters on April election. And now with my appointment to the Joint Finance Committee, I'll be have a seat at the table as we work on the next state budget. So it's going to be an exciting session. I'm looking forward to it.
And I'm looking forward to getting into that, talking about the repeal of the personal property tax, a number of things that you've had some newsletters and been in the news with lately. I wanted to start off, though, with, sir, just that you mentioned the beginning of a new year, the beginning of a new some new jobs for some of you guys and your colleagues out there. So when it comes to that, what are some of the things that you are looking to do in this session that you guys, like for you and your colleagues, what are some of the bigger things for you that you're looking for in this legislation that you would like to be able to accomplish?
Yeah, so already we've begun sitting down and taking a look at some of the bills that we had worked on last session that unfortunately didn't get across the finish line for one reason or another. And so a big one for me is to continue to push and advance the Advanced Practice Nurses Bill, which would simply allow for our APRNs, who are nurses who are highly educated, have advanced degrees, to operate at the highest level of their license. This was a bill that we got to the governor's desk last session that unfortunately was vetoed. However, we're starting fresh this legislative session and engaging more colleagues and different stakeholders. In fact, I had a conversation with one of my Democratic colleagues as I was leaving Madison just a couple days ago, and she came up to me and we had a good chat and basically said, hey, I'm on board, let me know how I can help. And so we're trying to build more of a consensus on that front. Other areas, this session I'm going to chair the Labor, Regulatory Reform, Military Affairs and Veterans Affairs Committee. And so, we've heard there are a number of issues at some of our veteran homes over in King, as well as Union Grove, that we're going to be doing our due diligence to ensure that we're taking the best care of our veterans and trying to find ways to make improvements there. And then, as you alluded to already, again, trying to eliminate the personal property tax to help our small businesses and our business community that have really been struggling in the wake of the pandemic and dealing with all sorts of different issues. So there's a whole host of different fronts that we're going to be addressing this session, and I'm glad to be back. And we've got a lot of new colleagues, over 20 in the Assembly, and 7 new faces in the State Senate. So there's been a lot of turnover, but that provides us a lot of opportunity to approach new ideas and different perspectives and continue to put our best foot forward here for the state.
Really hit the ground running, you and the, your colleagues. And with that, I think that that speaks to the importance of modern politics and going forward. You look at both sides of the aisle going into an election, and you're going to see this is a big topic, this is a big topic, those things. But one of the most consistent things that I hear from people, not in surveys, but I hear from people is, well, what are they getting done? What are they doing? What are they accomplishing? Especially people like yourself and others throughout the state and really throughout the country that have been in these positions for a long time, and you start looking at their ballotopia or something like that, if you will, the back of their baseball card and looking at their stats and seeing, well, what have they done? What have they accomplished? And with that, it seems like it used to be I would ask you and others, well, how hard are you working or how hopeful are you about working with colleagues across the aisle in that? Now it seems like You have to make this work. You've got to figure out a way to work with each other, especially in a state like Wisconsin, because for one, you might not get anything done otherwise, and you may not be elected into your next office if you're not getting things done.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And, you know, the approach I'm taking this session is the same approach I've taken in previous sessions where, you know, I'm not afraid to reach across the aisle and work with my Democratic colleagues and, you know, and build those relationships. And what I'm really encouraged as we start this new session is that, you know, there has been a dialogue that's been established by Republican leadership in the legislature along with the governor. In fact, you know, for the first time in over 2 years, which is almost hard to believe, but legislative leadership had to sit down face-to-face conversation with the governor before the session kicked off, which I think is a good sign. You know, obviously there's still, there's going to be a lot of back and forth, especially once the governor delivers his budget address to the legislature come early February. And then we begin the process of crafting the state budget that hopefully can build consensus to get out of both houses and to the governor and one that he'll sign. You know, thankfully in the last two sessions and Governor Evers' first term, you know, we sent him, pretty aggressive budgets that had significant tax cuts. It didn't have everything the governor wanted, but at the end of the day, he signed those budgets that we sent him because I think, you know, he could kind of see the writing on the wall that, you know what, it may not be everything that I wanted, but it's a step in the right direction, and there are some things that he could go around the state and champion as well. So, you know, obviously we're early in the session, but I'm optimistic that we'll be able to do our job and get a budget done and hopefully signed into law, and one that will make critical investments in our state, whether it's dealing with K-12 education, making sure that, you know, our local towns are getting the support that they need for transportation and help fix their roads, and that we're having serious conversations on what it's going to take and be needed to make changes to shared revenue, because we hear from every unit of government who are struggling right now because of inflationary costs.
Let's go ahead and get into some of these. First up, we want to talk about the repeal of the personal property tax. First, tell us what this repeal, what you and your colleagues are trying to get forward here, and then we'll kind of get into it a little bit more.
Yeah, so the personal property tax, this is not what most people may think of when you hear that property tax. You think, oh, my property tax bill that I get at the end of every year that, you know, portions go towards county, technical colleges, your local school district. The personal property tax is related more towards businesses. And so, for example, the examples I always use is if you're a bar, a tavern owner, or a restaurant owner, and, you know, when you go out and buy certain things for your establishment, whether it's a new table or chairs, when you go out and purchase those items, you already pay a sales tax. But with the personal property tax, what this does, it's a tax that you have to pay on these very same items year after year after year forever until those items are no longer in your possession or your business is gone. It's probably one of the most regressive taxes that we have had on the books for decades. And many other states, especially here in the Midwest, in Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois, in recent years have done away with their personal property tax because they realize how regressive it is and how burdensome it is. So last session within the state budget, we put in the full repeal of the personal property tax, which accounts to about a $200 million tax cut over the course of the two-year budget. Unfortunately, what happened was the provision got line item vetoed by Governor Evers. Now, after that veto occurred, legislation was introduced by Democrats within the legislature. But at that point, we had basically told the governor that you had your chance to get this done in the budget, so no go. So now we're hopeful that we're going to reintroduce this again, and we're hopeful that once it gets incorporated into the state budget, this will get signed into law, because that money has already been allocated and is sitting there from the work that was done in the last budget. So it just should be an easy layup for us to get this done.
What are you hearing from the governor's office of why it was vetoed?
Well, the governor, in his veto message in his from the budget, they cited some concerns with some language dealing with railroads, which, from my understanding, that language has been removed this time around. So, you know, I don't really see any hurdles as to why this would get vetoed if and when it does make it to his desk again. And more importantly, this is really about providing relief for many of the same small businesses that struggled during the pandemic, who already have razor thin margins, who have been dealing with the labor shortages for the better part of 6 years now, and has only increased in recent years. And so we see this as a way to help boost Wisconsin's economic engine and to provide that relief for our business community to reinvest those savings back into their business to help expand and grow and hire more workers. And again, just making Wisconsin a more competitive place as it relates to our tax climate.
And it's interesting with this whole thing, because going back and looking at some of the things that Governor Evers was looking to do, it uses very similar terminology that you're using to have the bill. It feels like you guys are on a similar page here, and there is a middle ground that can be reached.
Yeah, I would hope so. And in fact, you know, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association just had their lobby day this week, and I met with some constituents who came down, and this is for the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, one of their top legislative priorities. And I just kind of chuckled, because I said, look, I'm going to be on WFHR on Friday. I'm sure we're going to be talking about this and doing what we can to educate people and encourage them to reach out to their representatives, and even reach out to the governor's office, encourage him that if and when this does make his desk, that it gets signed into law.
I want to talk now about bail reform and helping fight violent crime. You and I have talked about this before, and I think in previous conversations that the direction has been a little bit different. This bill in particular is a much different one in place. So I think, first up, go ahead and tell the audience, for those that may not know, what this bill is.
So this is a constitutional amendment, and so this has been worked on for several years by a couple of my colleagues, Senator Van Longard and Representative Cindy Duco. They've been at this for the better part of 6-7 years now. And so the way we amend our state constitution here in the state is that you have to pass a joint resolution out of both houses in two consecutive legislative sessions. And then from there, it goes to referendum, statewide referendum, and in this case, it will be on the ballot this April. Now, back in the early 80s, there were changes made to our bail system that, from many people I've talked to within our judicial system, have said really hinders their ability when it relates to providing bail for individuals. So essentially, they could only look at whether or not any bail that was put forward would cause any hindrances for them to show up in court, and didn't allow them to take a full look and range at a person's flight risk, if they are a danger to themselves or others, and any potential to commit more egregious acts. So for instance, in the case of Daryl Brooks, who was the individual convicted of the Waukesha Christmas parade tragedy, you know, he was out on $1,000 cash bond a week before he committed his heinous crimes. And even though this individual had a rap sheet a mile long and should never have been out on the streets to reoffend, unfortunately, with the current system set up the way it is, was able to be out on relatively low cash bail. And so we believe this is going to be, if approved by the voters this April, will provide a necessary tool for our judges around the state that if there is a dangerous individual who poses a threat to themselves and has the opportunity to commit a violent and terrible crime, that they don't have that opportunity to hurt and harm others.
I don't think anybody is in favor of violent criminals being free. So I think that that is, you know, clear point. One of the interesting, there's a couple of interesting notes of this to me. For one, the national stats from prisonpolicy.org along with vera.org, less than 10% of people waiting trial commit crimes. Less than that, even violent crimes. With this, a horrible situation that happened with Brooks and the Waukesha situation, it's terrible. And it's on all of our minds like it happened yesterday. Another thing that pops in my mind, though, is when every time there is a school shooting and you have a part of the aisle that says, well, this is not the time to talk about gun safety. And the other part of the aisle say, well, this is the perfect time to talk about this, even if it is a one in a million time thing. Here we have a situation where this has obviously not happened before and hopefully will not happen again. To kind of balance a bill on certain, like on something that is not an everyday occurrence is kind of a concern. Now, that to me is here or there, and I don't think that that's the part I want to really focus on, because the part I want to get to, sir, is the power giving to judges and who watches the watchman. I don't think that it's a bad idea to have judges have more of a say in a person's bail or if they should be free or not. They're in that position for a reason. But who holds them accountable? Who is going to make sure that they are not doing treating ethnic and poor people worse than others? Because that is the big concern here. If I've got a lot of money, well, then it doesn't matter. I can get out of this, or I can get one way or another through this situation. If I'm a person who is coming from a poor neighborhood, who is of an ethnic ability, we know the statistics. We know how this goes. So who holds the watchman? Who holds people? Who is going to hold people accountable?
Yeah, that's a good point. But let me just back up real quick, because some of the national stats that you cited, those are accurate figures without a question. However, Wisconsin's a bit of an outlier as it relates to how we handle bail, because
it's a good point.
We're the only state in the nation that does not allow a judge to take a look at an entirety of an individual's past history and record. And so, for instance, in the city of Milwaukee alone, one in five, 20% of individuals who are suspected of committed a homicide or attempted homicide were out on low cash bail. And so that's why we think it's so necessary here in the state, because Wisconsin historically for the past 40 years has been an outlier in that regard. And so our trends don't line up with those of the national trends. Now, to your bigger point of who watches the watchmen, you know, that is one of the biggest complaints that I have with our judicial system as it stands right now, because judges are elected figures just like myself, Representative Krug, and anyone else who serves in elected office. We are accountable to the voters we represent. And so in the legislative position, any individual can take a look at any vote I've taken and hold me account to it, whether you agree with it or not, and then have the ability to voice your opinion every 4 years when my term is up for re-election. And so one of the things that we worked on, and this was late last session, this came as a recommendation from some folks that I talked to, is we need more transparency within our criminal justice system. And that goes not just for judges, but it goes for DAs, it goes for prosecutors. And so last session we introduced a bill that would essentially provide more sunlight in, you know, how judges and district attorneys and prosecutors conduct themselves. So, for instance, on Wisconsin CCAP, where you can go up and take a look at someone's criminal record and even civil records within the court system, and you can see what they may have been charged with and what they had to pay out to the court and follow that. But what you don't get to see is all the charges that were brought forward, what got dropped, what got pleaded down, and I think that would be a useful tool for voters to know that, if, for instance, one, if there's a judge who may be soft on criminals, that, and if voters don't like that, well, then they have the ability to hold that person accountable. And on the flip side of that, if you have the judge who's imposing harsh penalties that people feel go above and beyond what is called for, well, then they have that ability, again, to make their voices known and find the judge that best represents the values within that community.
One of the other things about this that stands out too is you know, I've had so many conversations over the years with our Sheriff Sean Becker, and one of the bigger things that he has tried to put forward is stopping the revolving door of crime, which is similar to the topic we're having here. And the biggest thing out of his mouth and others that I talked to was mental health. Is that another part of how we're trying to fight crime is also focusing on mental health? Bail bonds, these things are great, but it can't be it's just a Band-Aid. This, if we're going to really do something about crime, we've also got to ask the criminals why they're committing these crimes and figuring out that part too. Not to say that that's every criminal. You've always had knuckleheads in society, people who just want to watch the world burn. But I'm talking about the people who are doing it to feed their family or these things and finding out, hey, is there a mental health issue? Are there bills? Are there things that you and your colleagues are talking about working on to approach it that way as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in fact, I just had a conversation with Sheriff Becker last night at an event we were both at together. And so, I mean, this is just the bail reform is just one piece of a puzzle, a very large puzzle, in fact. Mm-hmm. So, you know, over the last several sessions, we've had a number of bills and proposals come forward dealing with mental health and providing more access and care and trying to help people get back on their feet. You take a look at all the work that's been done through the HOPE agenda, helping individuals combat the opioid epidemic and the methamphetamine epidemic that we have here in the state. And I suspect there's going to be more work that needs to be done, providing more resources for treatment and diversion programs and doing what we can to help counties and municipalities establish drug courts, which, you know, I've seen firsthand, you know, having the ability to witness the proceedings of drug courts in a number of different counties in the 24th Senate District. And it truly is remarkable that when you provide a pathway for individuals and set up some guardrails in the event that they kind of bump up against them, that rather than just throw them away and say, you know what, there's no hope for you, really provide that structure and that pathway for these individuals to get back on their feet, become productive members of society again, and help cut down on the recidivism rate. And so I suspect we're going to be having lots of conversations and lots of legislation introduced on those fronts, just like we have every session that I've been in office.
And last week we had one of your colleagues, Representative Shankland, and we had got the chance to touch on this. So I wanted to wrap up and bring it up with you because you and Katrina presented a citation to H.O. Wolding, the oldest man in Wisconsin. He and his family have done a lot for Portage County throughout the years. He is 110 years young. What was that like?
It was great. So Representative Shanklin and I, we got to go out just outside of Amherst and deliver a citation to Herb Wolding, who 110 years old. I'll be happy if I make it to 70.
Yeah, I hear you. Yes, yes.
And you know, it was great because he had two of his sons and their family members there, and you know, it was really great to sit down and chat with him. Now he's a little hard of hearing, and you know, at 110, you can't blame him. But it was really a neat experience because this is a guy who really was self-made. I mean, he started off doing different businesses. I think at one point he would deliver dairy to some of the different dairies around the area, hauled cranberries. And then I believe it was back in the 30s or 40s, he established H.O. Wolding Trucking, which is now a fourth generation owned business and very successful. They're nationwide. And a guy who is just very deeply involved within his community, has a strong faith. In fact, one of the first things I noticed when I walked in is sitting right next to his chair was a very worn down Bible. I guess I asked one of his sons, he reads it every day and he keeps moving along. And mm-hmm. So I hope we'll have the opportunity to present him another citation for his 111th birthday next year.
Yeah, here's hope, and I'm looking forward to hearing about that when it happens. Senator, always appreciate the time. Thanks a lot. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk again next month.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, James.
Thank you. Big thank you to Senator Patrick Teston for joining us. Always appreciate the conversations with him. Coming up, part two, Historic Point Boss. We're going to talk to Mike Hittner and our friends over there. Coming up here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Highs around 26 this afternoon under overcast skies, winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, lows level off around 16. Overcast skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 26. Dry with temperatures a bit above average, Sunday and Monday, and highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 23.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning Magazine, part two for you on this January 2023. Your host, James J. Mailoff here, and I am joined by our good friend Mike Hittner from the Historic Point Boss. Good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning, James, and everybody in Radioland.
How have you been?
Oh, great, great. Weather's been mild, little snow, but it almost feels like a little bit like March out there,
doesn't it,
really?
It has that little bit of a
like
feel
March
to it.
Madness, almost like the basketball tournament should be starting.
Absolutely. I wanted to talk with you about the ice cutting event coming up January 28th.
Right.
Get into this. I was thinking about this and going through some old notes, and I want to say, Mike, one of the first times we got together for Morning Magazine was to talk about this event.
Ice cutting, yeah.
And Terry and I, on air and off air, were talking about this today because it's so cool to us, ice cutting. Cutting and the event, the art of it and everything, and how even today we still use this practice in certain ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things that even a few nonprofit organizations, volunteer firemen or something like that, still cut ice on a pond and then sell it for like people that are using it for summer picnics and that sort of thing. They can buy big blocks, you know, fairly reasonably. So it's still done to some extent. And of course, the Amish still use it because they don't use electricity and they're refrigerating like they did, 100 years ago.
I have to ask you, and I consider you, your family, friends of the station, friends of our community and everything, but I've got to ask you a serious question. Do you think you're a bad influence because your daughter just will keep jumping in ice now? She just keeps jumping in the water now.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to see that, though. I was talking with her this week about it, the interesting connection there.
Well, they got that Red Bridge thing going that's just down probably a mile and a half from their house on Casimir Road, and they cut out a big chunk in there, and then I think at least once a week or something, they're jumping in there or something.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about the kids jumping in yet, but I've seen pictures of Jason and Katrina and my other daughter, Christiana, jumping in there. So it's something fairly new. I think it's only maybe this year. Maybe they did a little bit last year, but that's the first I've kind of really seen pictures of and heard about it. But they're a little bit more polar bear than I am. I've almost fallen in a couple times, but that I got a foot wet. That was enough for me.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm 100% with you on that. When it comes to the event, let's tell people about that, especially anybody who has not been able to take in the event before.
Yes, this is part. We're part of Port Edwards Lions Fishery, and it's on Saturday this year. Now, this is a new thing for them because it has always been on Sunday, and next year it'll be on Sunday, but there were some circumstances that came up within the organization that made it more applicable to be on Saturday, January 28th, and it starts at 10 a.m. and it goes to 3 p.m. And they've got, you know, fishing contests for the biggest fish and all different kinds of things. They have a chili dump, and they have some food served and that sort of thing. Do a great job. And Port Edwards Lions, I can't shout out enough about them and what they do in the community and what they have done for probably 40 or 50 years within the community. A great organization. And I always told them, I said, if I wouldn't belong to Point Boss, I would belong to them, because I really believe in them and what they do. So we're going to be a part of that, and our part of that is ice cutting. We, as you drive by, if you go on 13 and go across Snipco Lake, you'll notice that there's an orange fence there. We put it up about 3 weeks ago, and we got posts in there, and we're preserving that ice there. We shoveled it once. This afternoon, we'll go out and shovel again. So if you see some crazy people shoveling Snipco Lake, you know that it's Point Boss people out there. They're crazy. We just shovel it because we want to get the ice not insulated, so maybe it freezes a little deeper. This year has been a kind of an anomaly a little bit because of the warmer weather, which we've all enjoyed. But when we put the post in, it was 8 inches of ice about 3 weeks ago. And I imagine if it's 12 inches, it's probably a lot. And I haven't seen any vehicles on there. And usually it has to be 12 inches or more before vehicles will go on. So I'm thinking it may be a little thinner ice than other years, but then you just cut more blocks. I mean, that's... We're kind of like farmers. I mean, we depend on nature. The farmer depends on the rain and the sunshine he gets. We depend on how cold it gets and what kind of ice-making qualities we have. And whether it's global warming or whatever it is, this year is going to be probably a little less. Last year we had 24 inches. Now we're going to get nowhere near that because I noticed in the forecast it gets in the single digits like next Thursday and Friday. And then Sunday morning it's like minus 3 or 4. But there's none of that before then. It's always like we've been having, you know, with the heavy cloud cast and everything like that. We've been getting, you know, 29, 30, 35 during the day and 24, 25 at night. So it's not making a lot of ice in this kind of weather. But we'll have plenty of ice to make, and we'll just make more of it is all. So,
what is the time frame for the event?
The Port Edwards Lions Fishery is 10 to 3. We cut from 10 to 1 pretty much. So we're on the ice and doing our thing from 10 to 1, cutting blocks, taking it off. This year, because of maybe the ice being thinner, we'll probably have to sled it off and load it on shore, just because you don't want to take a chance somebody going through the ice with a vehicle. It's very expensive.
Yeah. There's a lot about the event, as you touched on, that is so much fun for everybody. Just focusing on your guys' part in it, when it comes to the ice cutting, how long did that take you to feel comfortable doing something like that, Mike? It's one thing if I'm, you know, I've been in the carpentry, I've been cutting stuff my whole life. Sure. My dad, one of the first things he did was teach me how to measure something out and cut it. And it's, I do that on land. Yeah. I do that on stable ground and everything. Yes. And I'm still, I still measure it out, you know, measure twice, cut once, that whole thing. How did it go getting comfortable doing something like this, or are you ever truly comfortable with something?
Well,
like
you're comfortable in a sort when you're on ice, you know, and we take it for granted, ice. You know, if you talk to somebody from the south or from a different country, they, you know, we had our local priest for years was from India and stuff like that. And you talk about ice, they can't conceive of it. Yeah. You're walking on the water, you know, sound like Christ again. Maybe Christ, maybe on the Sea of Galilee was iced over for some reason. But it's a thing you get fairly comfortable with after a while. You got to be careful around it because, you know, you could go on, and where we cut, it has to be deep enough so our saws don't touch the bottom, and our saws are approximately 6 feet long, and I think I brought them in, I think, last year or something like that. And so it's got to be like 8 or 9 feet deep. So if you fall in, you know, there's always a chance. You dread that, you know, you hear those stories. I think James is here, where people get under the ice and they can't find where to get out. I mean, this is going to be a fairly big hole, so it should be easy, but we don't want anything like that to happen. We've only had one person, thank God, go in over the years, and they got out very safely. And unbeknownst to me, I was out, you know, stacking ice at the site in their ice house. That person came back after he dried off. I never would have came back. I mean, I would have stayed home. I figure that's enough today. I've done my duty and due diligence. But he came back and he cut ice again and for longer in the day. But so you actually get fairly comfortable, and you were ice cleats, you know, something that's you're not slipping on it, and you're careful around that. And we always, you know, have a perimeter where people can safely walk. And then, you know, we stage off that area so it's away from there a little bit, where we cut up the blocks a little smaller maybe and haul them off. So it's pretty safe. And last year we were very fortunate. We had a lot of public come and help us, mm-hmm. which is a great help. I mean, especially when it was 24 inches, you know, our average age is probably 72 or 73. So it's a physical,
yeah.
physical job. I mean, it's not like it's easy. You kind of look forward to it. But when you get done with it, you say, well, would I want to live in that era? I think I like interpreting, but I don't think I want to live there because it's a whole different ball game. I mean, a lot of people come with those romantic ideas. Oh, would you like to live, you know, during the Wakely era? It seems so nice. You know, you got wood fires and you got all this, but no, it's a lot of work, a lot of physical work that we're not used to anymore.
I think, you know, we both consider ourselves students of history, lovers of history. One of the things that I enjoy about when I go down these rabbit holes and learning about ancestors or things of years past is the perspective I have of, wow, we got it better. We really, like, it gives you a little bit of appreciation of things nowadays,
right,
and stuff.
Right. And I think the kids are always amazed, you know, by seeing this ice and not realizing that you didn't have refrigeration and freezers and that sort of thing. The same thing with when the kids come in the schoolhouse and they see our big old-fashioned hand-cranked phonographs with a 78 and it's two sides, and they look at that and they wonder, you know, how's that, like a CD or something?
Yeah.
You know, you only got one song on each side, and a DVD, you know, a CD's got, you know, like 10 or 8 or 10 on each mm-hmm. side and that sort of thing. So it's always amazing to them, and it's I think that's why we enjoy working with the children so much, is because a lot of these things, unless they would see an actual application, it would never know what it was like. You can see it in books and everything, but as you and I both know, I mean, a lot of that history is good, but you know, doing it in actual fact or seeing it actually done is a whole different thing. So we invite, you know, anybody that wants to come out and view it, help with it. We certainly welcome anybody. Children, we usually have them doing some cutting the blocks smaller or doing some trimming off site, away from the water a little bit. But adults and everything, welcome, come in and cut and join us. And last year, like I say, we had at least a dozen people come in, and they stayed with us the whole time. A lot of people come in and do a half a dozen strokes, and then they'll leave. But these people stayed, and they came down, watched us pack it, and it was really good. And this year we'll have a little different. I think we're going to have some hot chocolate down there. So if people want to come down and follow us through from the cutting to the packing away, they can come down to the site and, you know, probably after 1 o'clock and watch us pack it away. We're usually done by 3, so if they want to watch the packing process in the ice house and with the sawdust in between the layers and over the top of it, they can see that also. So
I can't prove it, but I guarantee the person that fell in the ice and came back, that was a Wisconsinite.
Yes.
That's a Wisconsinite right there.
Well,
that's
originally, they've been Wisconsinites for a long time, but originally he's from outside Chicago area.
You like that. We're speaking with Mike Hittner about this Historic Point Bosses ice cutting event coming up Saturday, January 28th. Mike, when you first started doing this, what was one of the things that surprised you the most about ice cutting? And over the years, you hear from people that come to the event that are kind of blown away by certain parts of this event.
I think just the thickness of the ice some years,
yeah,
how, you know,
yeah.
24, 28, 30 inches thick, how thick that ice gets and how heavy it is. You know,
yeah.
Last year, 12 by 12 inch block, 24 inches thick, was 125 pounds. So if you're pulling those out or if you're stacking them or anything, after it gets more than waist high, it gets to be a bit of a project to do it. So when we get on towards the top more, we'll cut the blocks in half so we can, you know, deal with 65 or 70 pounds and not 125. But I think that and also the sheer physical labor.
Mm-hmm.
We have all our saws that have ice saws that have the proper kerf, which means the different blades are offset so that
mm-hmm.
cuts a little bit more and a little more aggressively. And we have them oiled up and everything so they don't rust and everything. But just physically, I mean, if you got 24 inches of ice, you got to work at it quite a while.
Yeah.
Now, if you got a half a dozen guys there with ice saws working and they're coming from different directions, it'll seem to go fairly quickly. But if there's only a couple people cutting, it's a project. So
I think for me, that was probably the biggest thing that has stood out. You know, last year when you guys brought the actual saws in the building and we were able to look at them and feel them and smell them and all that, I was blown away by the way that they built things to last back then. And some of the innovative, the creativity in the process and figuring things out and problem solving them. You know, nowadays we're so quick to just hit a search engine and look up something to how we fix something or something like that. You had to figure out what worked in real time and like, okay, well, this isn't working. And the thing that you mentioned about doing the saw blades a little differently, like that was probably trial and error.
Yeah, and the first few years we just, you know, got these antique saws and we oiled them up a little bit and used them, but we didn't have the kerf right. And I think actually it only cut by friction. So that means it was only cutting by heat. And so that was taking a really long time. But we have one of our members, Johan, that's really good with saws, and he got that kerf right. And now they're much more aggressive. So you're cutting by friction, certainly, but a lot more of it's by the actual cut.
I'm constantly reminded of this, and maybe no more than in this job than when you and I get together, of there was never a playbook given to us. You know, we've never had an instruction manual on this thing called life and how to do all this. And the things that we're so close to it, I think we forget sometimes of how darn amazing human beings can be and what we can do to make things happen.
Yeah. And we don't realize, you know, like when they used to deliver ice in the cities, you know, Chicago, probably even Rapids here at one time, you know, they had a little square that had 10, 25, 50, and 100 on it, and they just flip up on the top whichever mount they wanted. When the Iceman came by with his wagon drawn by probably horses, maybe certainly in the early years, they just look at how much you need, and then they'd take out a block of the appropriate size, and they had this leather kind of a apron on their shoulder, and they'd throw it on their shoulder with the ice tongs, and they'd walk up the steps or whatever. Could have lived on the third floor. You can imagine this was quite a workout. You didn't have to go to the YMCA in those days, for this guy anyway, and got it and delivered it, and once a week or whenever their route was. And those, just like the milkmen, those horses that pull these ice wagons and the milk wagons knew exactly where to go. If the guy wasn't the same guy, that horse knew where to stop. For this house had service and that one didn't, and they went down the road just like that. And it's unbelievable how those horses got a real memory after a while.
It's remarkable. So many of these things, what we would do to just get simply ice to people.
Right.
As simple as that. We're speaking with Mike Hittner from this Torque Point Boss. We're going to take a very quick minute break, come back and have some more fun and conversation here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio. If you're talking,
we all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy, so we show them how. And we tell them, with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk, they hear you.
You can do it if you try. It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 26. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 16. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs level off around 26. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Sunday and Monday and highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 23.
Welcome back to Morning Magazine, everyone. We're sitting here with our friend Mike Hittner from the Historic Point Boss. We're talking about the ice cutting event coming up Saturday, January 28th. And Mike, I want to talk a little bit more about that and certainly wanted to, if you don't mind, preview the event you have coming up in February. So let's continue. Was there anything else that we could tell people about the event coming up this weekend? It's 10 to 1. It'll be over at the Historic Point Boss. The location, these things?
This will be at the...
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's not at the Historic Point Boss. It's no. Right at the I can't think of it.
Goosa Community Center?
Thank you. Yes. Man, it was just right at the tip of my tongue. Yeah. I could not think of it.
Yeah, that'll be on February 18th. That's our winter feast, which is a true feast. In fact, we started at Beer and Community Hall and went to the Knights of Columbus, and now we're certainly at the Nacoosa Community Center, which is a great venue. I mean, beautiful. And, you know, hats off to Nacoosa for doing a wonderful facility that's so available to the public and so appropriate for what everybody needs. The beauty of that is we have wild game. We got beaver, one of those beavers, you know, James and audience. We had 45 pounds dressed. Can you imagine the size of that beaver? Like a little bear.
Like a little cub. Like, yeah, wow, I had never heard of a beaver that big before. Yeah,
45 pounds, and we got beaver, and we got some bear. We got about 10 or 12 pounds of bear, and we got some venison, of course. Plus, we have chicken and ham for those, and everything is marked so you know exactly what you're eating or not eating, so you can pick and choose that way. So this is a fundraiser for us in FUN and FUND combination. We have some entertainment from Stevens Point, Ann and Don. They play guitar and violin, and they do a very good job, and they've been down at the site a couple times and played. And the dinner and everything goes like slick. We start at 4 o'clock, gathering time. People come around gathering. We got hors d'oeuvres, and we got hot apple cider, and we got, you know, sausage and cheese trays and that sort of thing. And then at 5, we get everybody seated, and then we go through the kind of the evening's arrangement, how we're going to do things. And then people start eating at 5, and then about, and we have some, you know, great prizes that people can win and raffle, that sort of thing. So evening goes very fast. We're done about 7:30, something like that, and people always have a good time and come down and really have a great time. The best part for us is we really enjoy it. We start cooking on Friday and then cooking all day Saturday, so we have some great cooks. Two or three of them are commercial cooks. Tom Bramer, Scott, and Jackie have done it commercially, so that's the good part about it. And they know these wild game recipes. Most people a little hesitant about wild game, but if it's fixed really right and it's hot, it's excellent. It's just this fact is it's got to be hot, and people got to know what they're doing. So it's a good chance if you like wild game, and it's kind of all you can eat. And then if there's anything left, we don't store it, so we put it in Ziploc bags and mark it, and then you can pick it up on your way home, and you can enjoy it again another time. So you can have seconds. So.
That's a really nice added benefit of an event like this. Right. I know how often people like to try different meats and different foods and stuff too. So that's a really cool part of this as well.
Yeah, and a lot of times people are kind of amazed that we hand it out, but what are we going to do with it? Can't save it for a whole year. Yeah. And we don't, unless it's something smaller like chicken wings or something we could fix for the summer event, we don't really have any way of using it again. So we pass it out and people take it home and they enjoy it. And it's very reasonable. $20 tickets are at Family Natural Foods, Daily Drug, and Beavers in Nacoosa. You can get them in advance at the door. They're $25. Very reasonable. Because I know there's a lot of things within our community that have fundraising, and a lot of those dinners are $40 or $50 or whatever. And this is, you know, we're trying to make this for the average person sort of thing. And normally about 125 people there, somewhere in that range. Everybody has a great time, and sometimes we might have some people from the Wakely family coming. We got family in New Mexico that was one of the Wakely heirs. And they written letters, Civil War era letters, back and forth, and they were talking about maybe possibly coming. We haven't heard yet, but that'd be an added bonus. We've had a few of them over the years that have come and spent the time with us, and we're always honored by that, of course. So,
You know, you can't go out to eat these days and not drop at least 20, 30 bucks. So right. This, an event like this, not only are you probably spending less than you would and getting a great meal and a unique meal, but you can feel the added bonus of the dessert of, I just put back into my community. I'm helping the Historic Point Boss keep doing the great work that they're doing. You get that added kind of bonus to it.
And the nice part about it too, excuse me, James, is that in our garden this year, we tried to start raising things that we could use for this even. Mm. So we raised a lot of root vegetables, parsnips, rutabagas, all this sort of thing, turnips, and we're using those. We raised beans that we're going to make in some kind of a bean dish, and we saved those, so we're going to use those. We raised pumpkins. We had about 52 pumpkins, so we're going to have pumpkin bars as one of the desserts.
Hmm.
And squash, we had about 60 squash. So the squash that you get served in different forms is going to be squash from our garden. So a lot of this is what we raised in, on the site. The apple cider comes from our apple trees, the apples. So we're kind of playing it forward with everything we raise at the site. And we just started that about a year ago in our garden, just thinking to ourselves, we're raising a lot of not exotic things, but things that normally wouldn't be used or kept over. And we decided, shouldn't we be raising these things that we're going to use at Winter Feast or possibly could use there? And then we could tell people about that when they're eating that, hey, this is the stuff that we raised in our own garden.
Well, and it's just really goes hand in hand with what you guys do there, bringing history to life and showing, hey, this is how it was done by your ancestors and that. Yes. It's a little bit of a similar to that.
Right.
And I gotta say, and Mike, this is just between you and I. I don't want to embarrass myself in front of the audience. So just between you and I did not know you could eat bear.
Yeah,
you can eat bear. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, I guess. But I never heard of that. I never thought of that.
Yeah,
before.
You normally don't think of it too much because it's more of a, it's like saying you're going to eat lion. I guess in Africa, certainly they eat lion, but something we don't think about because there's a limited bear hunt in the state of Wisconsin. And I guess you got to almost go into a raffle to get a bear hunting license and everything like that. But one of our members got a bear this year, and then they donated us 10 or 12 pounds of bear meat. And so we get that once every 3-4 years or something, like somebody will get some bear, and then we'll make a special recipe. We'll roll it in cabbage leaves or whatever we do. Mm-hmm. Tom's got some very good recipes for
Tom's that, so. Great. Yeah. Please say hi to him and the rest of the staff over there for us, too. So this, again, Mr. Wakely's Winterfest is going on in the Nakusa Community Center, Saturday, February 18th, 4 to 8. You can get tickets, again, at Family Natural Foods, Daily Drug. What was the other one?
Beavers.
Beavers,
in
yes. Got to mention Beavers. Great place. Great people over there.
Yes.
And then let's remind everybody again the details of the Wakely Ice Harvest.
The Ice Harvest is part of the Port Edwards Lions fishery, and this year it'll be on Saturday, January 28th. And the fishery goes from 10 to 3. We're there from about 10 to 1. And you're welcome to watch us cut, help us cut, and help us transport, and or come down and watch us pack it away. And certainly invite you to little as much as you want to do or as little as you want to do. And certainly children are welcome. They just kind of cut a little bit away from the open ice. So.
And, you know, we're always looking for people to help you guys continue on what you guys do over there at Historic Point Boss. Not just volunteers, but people that maybe want to be a part of things on a more consistent basis. It's one of the greater ways to put back into your community and have some fun at the same time, learning a lot of things, having some perspective, all this stuff that comes with just putting time into the Historic Point Boss and keeping history alive over there.
Well, and you know, James, as with you've been involved so much in community theater over the years, that it doesn't really seem like you're doing a lot or it's taking a lot of time. But when you look back, it took quite a bit of time, but it's so much fun. You enjoy, and especially for us, it's camaraderie. The people we work with and get to know on a personal basis beyond just, you know, professionally down at Point Boss and what they do and what they don't do. But it's that personal basis that really makes it, and that camaraderie that makes wanting us to go to the next thing because we're going to do the same thing again and enjoy each other.
I think it's a really good point. People are looking for ways to connect with others nowadays. Sometimes it's connecting with somebody you haven't seen in a while. Sometimes it's just making new friends.
Yeah. And it's a nice thing. We got a couple new members that are just new in the community. They wanted to get involved some way or another, and they came out, and both the husband and the wife now are both participating in our Monday workday and also interpretation. So that's great.
And as you can tell, this isn't something that is a huge time commitment. It's not going to take a big chunk of your day if you do put time in.
It's as much as you want to put in.
Yeah.
You know, we got little projects anywhere from an hour a month to some of you wanted to spend 10 or 12 hours a month. So that's the beauty of it.
And all year long, there are great events going on with the Historic Point Boss. Encourage you to find out more about them. Help them keep history alive over there. You can find out more by going to historicpointboss.com. It's all one word, historicpointboss.com. Mike, if people do want to volunteer, they do want to know maybe some more about some of these events. Is there ways that they can reach you guys? Is there?
Certainly you can call me at 715-421-2061. Or Tom Bramer at 715-424-1656. And call us anytime. And if you wanted a little more personal knowledge of, you know, what can I do and what and where can I fit in, or if you just want to come down the site when we're doing an event and talk to us about it, you know, that's a great way too. And then you can kind of just drift around and find out what's to your liking and try it out.
Yeah. Mike, we can't thank you enough for the time and what you do for the community. Keep up the great work. Appreciate it very, very much. And do say hi to the gang over there for us. Yeah. One of these days when we have more time, I really want to talk with you about you. I want to know a little bit more about what got you into history and Historic Point Boss and that. I think that'll be another interview down the line.
Yeah. Thanks, James, and WFHR.
We'll have more Morning Magazine for you next week right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248 DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR locally grown radio.